Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley, and we thank you for being with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. It is fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com, 303-806-8886 is the number. And with that, we will welcome Mr. Flesh. What's going on, bud?
You know, I just, things are good. Finished a trial this week and had a really good result. It was a criminal case, and it was one of those situations where the client... It was a he said, she said sort of case, and client was adamant that he hadn't done anything wrong criminally, and it was a domestic violence case. And, and so just really difficult facts because the alleged victim in the case had a bunch of injuries, and it just looked bad for my client, but he was adamant that he didn't do anything wrong and that she had made all of these things up, and so we had a jury trial in Jefferson County this week, and it really came down to the details. It really came down to getting the alleged victim to embellish her story a bit, because I did think that as she was testifying that she had been making some things up and she was really trying to pressure my client into staying in a relationship. And I don't know, just it was an interesting dynamic between the two of them. And then generally just common sense things that people would think about circumstantially about how in this particular case she was saying that she was violently struck by him and that she had all of these injuries, and yet she had left her dogs with him. And while the police were investigating the case, she texted him saying, "Hey, I'd like to work this out." And those two little bits of evidence.
Hey, you leave your dogs with somebody? You trusted him, right?
Right? Yeah, that was my closing.
Really?
Why would you? Yeah. This person has just beaten you senseless was basically what your testimony was, that they had caused injury to your elbows and your knees and pushed you down a set of stairs and, I mean, all of these things. But you left their dogs with them, and you texted them that you wanted to figure something out while the police are investigating it. And so, and a lot of that was developed as she was testifying, because when I looked at the discovery and looked at what was going on in the case, I was like, wow, it's going to come down to whether they believe her or not. Well, finished the trial, my client testified. So he didn't say constitutionally, I remain silent. He got up there and he testified. And his testimony wasn't the best. I thought I had prepped him well, but he got really nervous on the stand. But his testimony was enough that they saw him, that he was willing to get up there, be sworn in, and tell what his side of the story was. Jury was out 20 minutes, and they had a verdict. And I was like, wow, that seems...
Yeah, this is either going to go...
Right, it's going to go really good or really bad.
Right.
And but I thought it was one of those cases where many times I think that the opening statements and the closing statements in a lot of cases, the jurors are like, oh, whatever, it's a bunch of lawyers just kind of talking to us and it doesn't really matter. I think in this case it made a difference. The close, I think we won the case on the close, exactly what you just responded. Because my close was this. You have to believe her, you have to believe him. There's no middle ground.
Sure.
But, and the other part of the case was that when the police arrived, he didn't have his shirt on. And the reason he didn't have his shirt on is because she had ripped it off of him. And so he shows up in no shirt. And he kind of explained to the police, not very well, but he explained to the police that she was the aggressor and all of this stuff. So, but the two things that you have to remember about this, she left her dogs and she texted him while the police were there, hey, let's work this out. And what rational person after being violently assaulted is going to do that?
Sure.
And I said to the jurors, no one would. And that, I think, resonated with them because they came back in 20 minutes, not guilty on everything. And it was just one of those things in sort of our topics for today of talking about the little details make a difference in both the criminal cases and the civil cases that we deal with, that jurors, you know, they don't leave their common sense at the door, and they take their life experiences. And as much as we get into this show and my life in general, talking about
sure.
the real technical legal issues and the real, you know, things that you sort of nuance, things that you kind of run through in front of 6 people or 12 people when they have to make a decision unanimously. Those sort of general thought processes about, well, who am I going to believe and what is it that is going to make a difference? Who would have thought leaving your dogs with them would have made a difference? But when I sort of was listening to her testimony, and my client is like, yeah, and the reason that it happened is the police were like, yeah, I knocked on his door and the 2 dogs were in the apartment. I'm like, time out. That's something that no one had talked about. She left her dogs with him. Yep. That's really strange.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those are the things that you never really sure. think about when you have something
see, that
happening.
That comes with the experience of, yeah. of being a trial.
Trial lawyer. That's exactly
it. I'm telling you, most people yeah. wouldn't have thought a thing in the world
right.
about it.
Or when the client yeah. shows me the text message that he had from that day that he had never showed me before. That morning, he like...
I know, like, you're like going, Judge, time out. Come on, man. Help me out.
Right. We were out of break. He's like, I don't know if I've ever shown you this text. Like, yeah, this is a big deal because it was time-stamped. And the interesting thing about that is in criminal cases, the defendant doesn't have to disclose things like that to okay. the prosecution. In civil cases, I would have had to disclose it, and I would have disclosed it immediately saying he just gave it to me. But in criminal cases, you don't have to. And so it was a little – I was like, whoa, this is going to be interesting because I expected her to say I never sent her that text. I never sent him that text. In her, my last question of her cross-examination was, and I read the text to her. I said, October 30th, 2021 at 5:59 p.m. You were still with the police. Yep. At that time, you sent this text and it said, do you agree that you sent that text? I was expecting her to say, are you kidding me? No. She said, yep, I did. I'm like, okay, thank you. I have no other questions.
Yeah.
Because I had gotten that evidence in, I didn't need to belabor it because I didn't know what else she was going to say.
Well, sure.
She could have been like, yeah, I sent it, but
yeah, you got
really
your point across.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just needed her to admit, because otherwise, if I didn't do that, then I would have had to get it through him. He would have had to lay the foundation list that came from her number, and yeah, I never gave it to anybody. I never showed it to anybody, mm-hmm. and it gets a little messier. But with her admitting to it, it was golden, and that's all. I didn't need anything else. And so that's where... I mean, it's crazy, these cases that we have, and the civil side, too, where you have situations where there are little things that make a difference in the long run to people that don't have anything involved in the case. Because that's what we want jurors to do, is we want them to come in and make decisions knowing that they don't know anyone and not having any agenda,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's when in civil cases, when we're talking about asking people for money, We want them to hear and at some point in the trial care enough to say, no, this person deserves some money.
Right.
And then how are we going to make them feel like they need to order the defendant to pay something?
Wow.
And in criminal cases, it can be something because I got the – I mean, they had horrible pictures of her injuries and everything else. And I think she accidentally fell down the stairs and then – tried to say that he did it to her. So she had real injury.
Right.
And they, you know, they traipse out that the all of that. But that didn't matter to the jurors yeah. at the end because they were trying to figure out, do I believe you? Because I don't know exactly how you got those injuries. And I gave them enough things to think about that they said, yeah,
because
yeah,
once you establish that, the other part didn't even really
doesn't matter. I mean, they feel bad for her, but
well,
that's,
yeah,
not what,
absolutely.
That's not what well. They have to really, that's not something that they really were caring mm. about. And that's, but, I mean, if you think about it, another jury may have reacted differently and said, well, she must have been hurt, and it had to have come from him. But you don't know, and you don't know
right.
the 6 people you're going to get. But it does go back to the experience that we have in trying these cases. And so that's something that happened this week that I thought was
yeah,
really interesting, because
it's, yeah.
it's not very often that I feel like my closing argument made a difference. In this particular case this week, it did make a difference,
mm-hmm.
because I put the pieces together that they needed to agree to understand. And the manner, the speed in which they came to a conclusion, 6 of them, that he wasn't guilty, surprised me.
Yeah.
Because I thought there would still be one holdout, like, well, no, I still kind of believe her, and try to get them to turn on at least maybe a lesser included, because they
mm-hmm.
included a lesser included crime and that sort of thing. And when they didn't, I was like, okay, they got the message.
Yeah. Now, when there's a trial like that, and you know. Is that the first time you met her? Was right there on
yeah,
the stand?
Yeah, right there on the stand.
So sometimes you hear of someone, you know, having to give their interrogatories. Yep. And how what cases get that attention where you kind of get to meet them before versus not getting to meet them?
I guess. So those are civil cases. Okay. So civil cases are much, much different in the sense that everybody gets the opportunity to speak to people, and you could depose them. You could have them give statements under oath. Criminal cases, you don't. I mean, there's a rule relating to depositions, but the courts very rarely allow you to depose someone prior to a trial. It's almost always you send out an investigator, maybe, if you think that's appropriate, or if the people will voluntarily talk with you, you could do that. In this case, she wasn't willing to speak to anybody. Mm. So, yeah, the first time I get to get a chance to really talk with her and get a sense of what she's going to like.
Live in action.
Live in action, right there. And she was a pretty good witness. Mm. She's a pretty good liar, I think. And so she, and the way that I, and so I had to be careful about how I would cross-examine her. Well, in my theory of the case from the get-go was that I was going to try to show that she made this story up so big and that she had all of these things that were so dramatic that why would she still want to be with this guy? And of course, there's theories out there with domestic violence and the sort of circular nature in which, but what I really wanted to get across to the jury is that she was interested because she knew that he hadn't done anything to her, mm-hmm. that she was the aggressor. But yeah, it's right on the fly, and you've got to, that's experience. That's just cross-examining people and getting a sense of what they're like and getting a sense of what you can push and what you can't push. Mm-hmm. If she had been a witness that, would have been much more antagonistic and much more difficult to cross-examine, it would have been a little bit different process. But I generally, what I try to do is I'm always looking at the jury, looking at me being a trustworthy person, because I think that at the end of the day, that does reflect on my client to some degree when they're deliberating. So if I'm a jerk, they're going to think that my client's mm-hmm. a jerk. So I try not to do that because I think that that's the most benefit for my client. And so if I can get the information that I need or the evidence that I need for a closing argument or for them to think about in deliberations without being a jerk, then that's what I'm going to do.
Sure.
I mean, I can turn that on and off.
That's what I tell people all the time, because some people say, I mean, we get calls and they'll go, who's your meanest attorney? And I'm like, why do you think that is what you need?
Yeah.
You know, all, I would say not all, but most good attorneys, hey, they know what level, you know, they can go to when they need that. But you don't necessarily that. You need an attorney that's going to listen to you and then figure out and advise you the best.
Well,
you
know? People need attorneys that understand what they're trying to. First of all, they have to have an understanding of what they're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Criminal cases are easy. You're trying to get the person to not be convicted of any crimes, but in the alternative, you're trying to have them minimize the impact on their life. Civil cases, it's generally money, so you're trying to argue for money, or, you know, a lot of times we hear about, you know, I want the meanest attorney, especially in, or the most antagonistic in domestic relations cases, divorce cases, because what the people are really trying to do, and we see it in the media all the time with sort of celebrities, is they go out and try to find the person that just causes the most damage to the other side as possible, and it never helps anyone.
Exactly.
I had a case this morning, actually, that eviction, and it was more of a family dispute, but parents that had let their daughter and her boyfriend stay in their basement, and they were charging them rent, and it got into a situation where they got sideways with them, and then they stopped paying rent, and now you've got to evict your daughter. And that's what I was doing this morning, is I was going through the legal process of evicting the daughter. And we could have gone to hearing and prevailed and made them get out. But the conversation that I was having with both sides is, let's try to figure out and fashion a way that the two people that you want out of your house leave voluntarily, and that you get it done in a reasonable manner so that you don't have appeals and other things. And we were able to resolve it. But it definitely took a deft hand in the sense of talking with both sides and working something out. You're not going to get that with the person that's just agonistic, trying to cause as much damage to the other side as possible.
Right.
Because if I had gone to them and acted like my client had wanted me to act with the other side, they would have put up a wall and we would have gone to hearing, and who knows what would have happened. My client may have prevailed. They may not have. I mean, that's a situation where I was like, why don't you have a written lease with your family member? And why, you know, all of those things that we talk about in these shows about, even when you get into a situation where you think you're friends with people, that's probably the best mm-hmm. situation where you want to have things in writing and you want to have people understand exactly all the terms right. so that when it goes sideways, you can still keep the relationship mm-hmm. and maybe resolve it without having all the animosity. So wow. just it's been an interesting week in that regard.
Sure, absolutely.
Because those are the sorts of things that we help people with and really add value and things we try to impart in these shows and help people being more educated to spotting issues that mm-hmm. they may have that they need help with.
All right. You're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh. Once again, Kevin's number 303-806-8886. I always tell you every show, put that number in your phone. Hey, we hope you never need it, but if you need it, it is right there at your fingertips. I don't know if we're going to get to our topic here, but another question.
I think we are. I think we are.
One other question. So now your client, I assume, got arrested.
Yeah.
All right.
Went to jail.
So.
Overnight because it was domestic violence, no bond hold.
He gets cleared. Now, can he sue her if he wanted to for damage? Because, I mean, you got to go to work and go, hey, look.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, it puts a cloud over a person.
It does.
Person.
And we're going to be able to see. It does. And it was for a year he had that cloud. And he was on pretrial services,
man.
And he was on bond. And,
so this
and
wasn't a couple-of-week deal.
No. Yeah. It was October of 2021 when it started. So, yep, almost a year. So the question is, can you sue her? Yes, you could. He could. The trouble with these sorts of cases where it's a he said, she said case mm-hmm. is that when you sue her for – you know, some sort of basically using the criminal process against him and that it was an unfair process and she knew it was at the time, either
right.
fraud or something else. The standard of proof in a criminal case is proof beyond a reasonable doubt, so a very high standard that the prosecution had to prove he was guilty. The standard in a civil case is by a preponderance of the evidence. So I think in this particular case, because it was her word against his and there was injuries to her, it could be maybe an equal split.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an equal split in that situation,
right.
he loses. So I always tread lightly on those sorts of situations unless we have some real good hard data.
Gotcha.
You know, video,
sure.
Body camera. You know, this case didn't have any body camera footage because the particular agency that came to investigate just didn't have it at that time. They have it now. They didn't have it a year ago because we're really going through that transition.
Right, exactly.
And so the law enforcement agency didn't have that. It would have been helpful for them to have it at the time because there were some things in the trial that probably would have helped us.
Yeah.
And some things that he told the officers that weren't in the reports that I think he probably did tell them. Because that the body cameras really help us now with, you know, the person says, well, I told him that she had choked me, but there's nothing in the report about him telling the officer that he did that. And so then mm-hmm. prosecutors are like, well, it didn't happen. Now, with everybody having body camera, especially starting next year, if the body camera isn't on, I mean, the law is so interesting relating to this because the legislature, we talked about this a year and a half ago, but the legislature has fashioned the law relating to the use of the body cameras for police that if the police show up and don't use their body camera in interviewing someone or doing something in regards to what took place in a criminal case, it's as if it didn't happen. It's
wow.
it's not usable.
Okay. Right.
And so it's going to get to the point where we have everything on video relating to the interaction with the police and the public. And quite frankly, it really has been beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was nearly as much police brutality sort of things that were going on prior to this. I could be wrong about that, but my experience has been that that's not the case.
Right.
But it clears up all of the interactions that the accused has with the police and what was said and what wasn't said. Because we've had so many cases where the client, especially in impaired cases, mm-hmm. either alcohol or drugs, where the person says, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. And then we get the body camera footage, and it's clearly the opposite because
right.
they just don't remember.
Sure.
Or I have a case that I'm working on now that I thought we were in a really good position based upon sort of what I had for human beings on the scene, and they were impaired, and they just weren't going to be very good witnesses. But now the DA has found ring camera footage of what took place, and it shows exactly what happened, and it's really damaging to my client because he was denying doing what they said he was doing, but the ring video shows it. And so my advice to everybody is assume that you're on some sort of video.
Yeah, and you have to remember that as a client, because even in traffic, they make little notes on tickets, right?
Yeah, and I'm beginning to have more and more people that have dash cams personally. So private individuals that'll have a camera, and it can be really helpful,
right?
Because it'll show what took place. And if you're trying to defend yourself and somebody is saying that you did something, a lot of times it clears up that issue and helps people, as long as you weren't doing it. If you were, then it may hurt you. But
sure.
But it definitely just clears the air. You don't have the arguments between people about what happened and what their memory was, because you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of manipulation yet of the media, or proving that there was manipulation. So,
Once again, you're listening to Legal Talk, Attorney Kevin Flesh. Hey, it's always a free consultation on any legal matter with Kevin, so we appreciate that. All you have to do is give him a call, 303-806-8886. All right, we're going to touch on this here, and then maybe we can pick it up a different show in our remaining time, but certainly we are in the last quarter here and the weather is changing. Yep. And so minor accidents seem to happen a lot in this, you know, when the weather gets icy, snow,
correct,
things like that. So
because we follow too closely.
Yeah,
all of us do.
We do.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you about, you know, reporting minor accidents. Mm-hmm. Now, we always say, and you've said this as long as we've been doing this show, always call the police.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's say they didn't. I mean, what are kind of the rules or guidelines of what you have to report?
Yeah, so the first thing is, any accident in Colorado, there's a statute relating to the fact that you need to notify the police to come out and do that. By law, you're supposed to do it. Unless, you know, we have these situations with weather alerts and things like that they say that in times where you don't have any significant injury, okay, no one is killed, there's no huge property damage, that you're able to do counter reports. And you really need to do those within a day or so of the event happening. But my advice always has been, always call the police, no matter what level of damage there is to the vehicle or injuries to the parties. It's just helpful to have them come out and to give some guidance relating to them helping you understand the parties, understand the owner of the vehicle, understand who has insurance, who doesn't, because they can take care of all of that. And sometimes you've got issues of impairment. You know, sometimes you've got issues where the police need to be involved because they need to make some determinations after investigation as to whether or not the other party that caused the accident is under the influence of something, and that will assist you down the road with additional information in their investigation. So you always want to do that, and really you have 24 hours that you need to be calling to make sure that that's accomplished.
Okay.
If we have a number of cases a year where people get into, so this is more on the criminal defense side, where they get into a minor situation and they believe to be minor in traffic, and they just continue to take off. You know, that's a 12-point offense for leaving the scene of an accident. In Colorado, you have 11 points each year that you can get on your license before they take your license and your license is suspended. So you leave even a minor accident and don't stick around for it. The police figure out your identity, and normally they do that through the identity of the vehicle and maybe some identifying information relating to you. You could end up being charged with a criminal traffic offense that you could lose your license. So
right.
You just want to take it seriously whenever it happens.
Right.
On both sides.
Sure. So let's say maybe you caused the accident, you hit, and then you don't report it.
Yep.
And then the person you hit does. Can that get you in trouble?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I was reading on here, it said like you can get up to 90 days, about 10 to 90 days in jail.
Exactly. Yeah. It's class 2 misdemeanor relating to the failure to notify the police. That's exactly correct. And that's where any time that you have an impact with another vehicle, that's an accident. Whether there's injuries or not, that's where you have to be contacting the police. And it's always of benefit for both sides to do that. And when you don't, then you end up with this sort of situation where the police eventually catch up with you, you end up being charged, and that's where it becomes much more critical for you to get in contact with us, and then we figure out what's going on. Denver does this a lot, where they will get reports of an accident, and they'll actually go try to find the vehicle within the city, and then they'll boot that vehicle and and say, get in contact with us so that we can talk with you about this accident. And they actually hold your car hostage, which I think isn't right, but that's what they do. And then they try to figure out who the driver was, because they can't charge a motor vehicle. They have to charge the human being. And that's where also, where if you have that happen, we can help you through that process so that you don't maybe tell them things that they don't, that you don't want them to know. Because there are cases where we have people that, in our practice, where they have had an accident and they did drive away from the scene, but the police don't have any information other than the vehicle and they don't want to get charged. We find out what exactly the police are wanting, and we're the intermediary so that you don't make the statement, oh yeah, I was driving, and then you get charged with this failure to notify police.
Right. Just got a couple of minutes here, but
yep.
We've heard the term no fault
state.
Is Colorado a no fault state?
Yes.
And the answer is no.
No. Okay. And what that means, no fault, we used to be a no fault state prior to 2003. And no fault is really related to what we used to call PIP, personal injury protection coverage on your insurance, where you didn't have to determine fault. Colorado is now a tort state. And what that means is you, as the person that gets injured in an accident, have to prove that somebody else caused your injury. They committed a tort against you.
Mm-hmm.
They had a duty to you in driving carefully, and they didn't do that, and they caused an accident, and that accident caused you injury. And so it's a very different way of dealing with the legal issues regarding personal injuries in a car accident. It used to be much simpler, and a lot of people could handle the cases on their own because they could get their medical expenses taken care of and their lost wages. And the personal injury, the pain and suffering was a little different, but a lot of times they could get all of the other stuff taken care of and they didn't need our help.
Right.
Now almost everybody needs our help because there's so many issues at play and people need to understand how those things transpire over time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of information, man. I wish we had another hour to go. But
we'll
do it next week.
That's right. That's right.
For sure. So, Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, as you can tell, you need an experienced attorney on the criminal side, personal injury side. Write down the number, 303-806-8886. It is fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com. Once again, our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. Thanks for being with us today for Legal Talk.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Rates just keep going up, making it harder to buy or refinance a home. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Make your 30-year payment, but own your home in 15 years, all while paying half the interest. Have access to your equity for 30 years without having to refinance and pay more fees. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. There are thousands of customers taking advantage of this simple interest loan. It's times like this when you can really save in your interest costs and pay less. Go to AIMortgage.net and see our Google reviews about the Asset Manager Mortgage. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Get up to 90% loan to value and up to $2 million in loan amount, all at the same rate as a $100,000 loan. Whether you want a condo, second home, investment, or cash out, all come with the same rate. No more paying higher fees and higher rates. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Pay less interest and own your home faster. Call 720-895-0500. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DOR, equal credit lender.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Choosing Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center almost 20 years ago was one of the best decisions we ever made for our pets. Hey, this is Scott Whatley, and I know it's a busy time of the year for all of us, but it's no reason to forget about our pets. Our pets are a part of our family, and they need their checkups and preventative care just as we humans do. Whether a pet is new to the family or has been a family member for many years, regular checkups are the foundation of our pet's overall health. Depending on your pet's age, a preventative care visit will include the basics, such as an exam and vaccinations, diet and weight management, and parasite preventatives. But it could also involve a spay or neuter discussion, microchipping, concerns about house training, or behavior issues. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the medical team will take the time to get to know your pet and address the concerns you have about your pet's care. It's what your pet deserves, and it's good medicine. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, boarding, grooming, behavior training, pet foods, or pet care products, you'll find it at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the place where my pets go. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. And don't forget to visit their website at LoneTreeVet.com.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Be sure and check out our website. It's HaystackHelpRadio.com. There you'll find our podcast. You'll find our referral list. And we are proud to have one of our referral list members right now, and that is Paul Dowding with WaterPros. Paul, good to see you.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. You've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been busy. Grateful.
You guys have been doing really good.
Yeah, we're doing, it really helps with going on today, and,
sure.
You know, with the water quality and people concerned about drinking water. And then, that's first and foremost on their mind, so we're able to help them out.
And, you know, sometimes we really don't think about something until it's brought to our attention a lot of time. And I'll be honest, I didn't. We bought a ton of bottled water and never really thought about things until I met you. And now proud to say that we have a very cool water in our house. And, man, I'll give you a little testimony here in a second, but I'm telling you, the day after we could feel the difference. And you had me run some hot water for 30, 45 minutes, kind of flush the system, I guess. You ought to help me with the terms. But after that, man, you could feel the difference on the skin and your hair. I mean, just exactly what you said.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, another thing it does, too, is that it saves with our water resource, right, because you're cut back on soaps, detergents, and chemicals. And so that's, you know, less that goes into our water, you know, our water supply, because it's there.
Yeah.
And
you even told my wife with the dishwasher not to use the
pods
anymore.
Right.
Just a little touch of soap. And, man,
And then the same with our clothes, right? You know what I mean? You have a lot of soap and a lot of detergents built up on our clothes. That's the fabric. If you see T-shirts, especially undershirts, right? Weekend shirts, and you see them raveling or you know, a hole. What happens? It's because they're not wearing out. It's because the soap is breaking down the fabric.
Okay.
Right. That's where lint comes from in the dryer. Right. It's clothes. It's fabric.
Okay.
Right.
Wow.
And so the fabric is basically your soap is like abrasive. And it stays. And so with the water softener, you cut back. You don't use as much soap. You know, there's companies out there that advertise they'll clean your carpet with no chemicals. Well, what are they using? Right? Soft water. And so it's great for breaking down and fight stains. So you don't need, you know, 90% less of the cleaning products, and, you know, you save money naturally that way.
Right. And the test that you talked about here on the radio several times, and when you came over, we actually did it. And what I liked about this, this wasn't some kit you pulled out of a bag or something that was from you.
Right.
You said, get a bowl, get your washcloth, get your bottle of water. And so that, I mean, the proof was in the pudding, as they say.
Yeah, but people don't realize bottled water is soft water, mm-hmm. right? So that's another thing. Is, you know, people think that water softening water doesn't taste good, but, well, you're drinking it when you buy bottled water. And so with soft water, what a way to demonstrate what's really going on, because that's in your house, it's your washcloth. And there's one thing we try to do is no gimmicks in our presentation, right? We want to educate and be factual. And in the market today, there's companies out there that want to do a long presentation, but, you know, there's the gimmick aspect, right? Mm-hmm. They take water and they change colors and they talk about contamination. There's legitimate issues that people should be concerned about without having to add a presentation that gives fear factor.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, we try to do, you know, various ways, but to bring it to your attention. And one of the things is, you know, look what's being left over. And so if this soap is trapped in the washcloth, it stays in the clothes, mm-hmm. right? Then it builds up. That's what's on the shower door. And then we want to go into, you know, what's used to clean hard water and soap film. And then now, you know, there's letters that are being sent out by water districts. Adams County was one. I think folks in Denver got one. Concerned about the forever chemicals that are in our water supply, the PFOs, PFAs. You go to our website under products, in the bottom of the page, we have the document from the EPA, you know, that talks about what are those forever chemicals.
Right. So when your phone rings, somebody calls you, what are generally the first few reasons they mention of why they're calling you? And we'll get into everything that you offer, because it's not just a softener, just the filtration. But what are most people concerned about?
Right now, it's the drinking water, mm-hmm. quality drinking water. And then the other is the right next, the second is, you know, hard water. You know, they don't want, you know, ruining their appliances. So, you know, when you get into a, you know, brand new home, you see the wear and tear already, right? And it's an investment, you know. It's,
sure.
Nowadays, average home price here is, what, $500,000?
Oh, yeah. God, no. Man, it's crazy.
You know, yeah. So it's something that, you know, they don't want, you know, their new home, the appliances, the washing machine, you know, especially the dishwasher, they see it, you know, to get ruined. And what's happening? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the other chemicals that you buy, right, the jet dry, right? And now,
right,
on top of your soap products for the wash machine, they have these little beads that they're add to basically make the towels and the clothes feel softer. So that's more conditioning. That's more product, mm-hmm. right? That's there. And it's unnecessarily, really, truly is. And so when anything that you send down the drain or flush down the toilet, right, doesn't disappear, it dissipates, sure. right? And some chemicals get diluted where, you know, they eventually, you know, go to where you can't, untraceable levels, but others will stay and right. stay and stay, and that's why they call the forever chemicals. And so I think now, I've always mentioned that, you know, I thought in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, water filtration, especially drinking water system, will be as common in a home as your furnace and hot water heater. And hard water plays a part
mm-hmm.
in, you know, the quality of your drinking water, because water treatment isn't plug and play. So if you got really, you know, if your water is really hard, it's going to affect the operation of your drinking water filter.
Right. Absolutely. Paul Dowding is our guest. Again, it's WaterPros, waterpros.net. So what are these, this count, Adams County, like, what are they telling people?
Well, they're letting people know that the levels of the PFOs, PFAs in their water are at a higher level than what the EPA would say is safe, or they're getting borderline to that point where, you know, hey, you really need to pay attention. And they're recommending that folks drink, you know, go out and buy a bottle of water. And mm-hmm. so, you know, this is something that a couple years ago, trade publications led by the Water Quality Association, they did a study about these PFOs and PFAs. And about a handful of years ago, I believe that, you know, it was brought to everybody's attention in Colorado Springs, right, by the military base, to the point where I'm pretty sure the military base was providing bottled water or giving folks, you know, water pitchers. And some communities here now are giving water pitchers to help, you know, reduce the, you know, the chemicals in the drinking water. So it's something that, you know, now it's come to fruition. It's here, and we really need to think about, you know, what we're doing with our water environment. And that's a resource. Water has been around as old as the planet. Right, it's reusable. Yeah. I mean, there's no brand new water.
Who would have ever dreamed? I don't know when it came out, bottled water, but who would have ever dreamed, man, that we would pay? And it's a bazillion-dollar industry, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I remember back in the 80s, I was in high school, and bottled water was like, are you kidding me? Who would buy that, right? And then it got to be where bottled water was more expensive, right, than a gallon of gas. Not anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
For sure.
But I remember that. So I think it started out as a fad, right? Mm-hmm. You know, style of having a bottle of water, and now it's something that is going to be a necessity. But the other thing too is, you know, the plastics, right? That, you know, sure. And so that's another issue
somewhere,
right? And so, you know, we got another, you know, recycling, you know, they're trying to, you know, cut down the waste, and it's ending up, you know, in the oceans, right? Landfills. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these plastics don't break down. And you also have to figure, too, when you get, you know, thousands and millions of pounds of waste that are buried, you know, every week, you know, in our landfills, you know, water, rainwater is going to run through all that.
Sure.
Right? And eventually, water will go through all those contaminants that we try to bury, all our garbage, mm-hmm. and it gets back into our main water supply, our aquifer. So we really need to pay attention, because with water quality, that's the essential part of life is water.
Sure.
And so water quality, I think, is something that's going to be more relevant today as a necessity. Years ago, you know, water softening was something that has been around since the 40s, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And so people had to go to somebody's home. When I first got involved in water treatment, you know, you had to, you know, show them. You had to do, it was necessary to create the, you know, the issue of why do you need, you know,
yeah, the need. You had to create the need because they didn't know.
Right. So, you know, you did the soap test. It was one of the things that you did. And then you showed them the savings and what it could do. And now I think it's, you know, it's more about drinking water quality to pay attention about drinking water. Well, if you have soft water, then your water filter is not going to be occupied by hard water. And hard water will, you know, beat up a water filter and prevent it from performing as designed. And so it's like a 1-2 punch. Think, you know, the 99% of the water we use in our home right now is from, you know, for showering, for cooking, or excuse me, cleaning. And it's the 1% for drinking and cooking, you know, that's for the drinking water mm-hmm. part of it. So, you set it up with, you know, the 1-2 punch. You take care of the water for everyday use, and then you have that great water for, you know, drinking and cooking.
All right. Do you think with COVID, too, you kind of saw an uptick because more people were home and drinking probably from home and, you know, hadn't been there. Most of us don't spend much time at the house,
well,
man.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, everybody works from home now, right?
Sure.
But, you know, that's another good point, too. We used to, majority of our visits when we went to visit somebody was during the evening, right? So they get home and, you know, got to get the kids fed,
yeah.
right? And after
so
dinner.
7 o'clock
right?
or something,
so it's kind of, you know, it's like a, it was like, you felt like you were intruding on somebody's life, right? Now it's so relaxed. You get to somebody's home, they work there, they're ready for you, you know, they can, you know, fit you in their schedule, and, you know, they're in their comfy clothes, and, you know, so it's a easier approach and, you know, conversation, because, you know, it's different than someone, you know, just getting home from work and, oh yeah, we got the water guy coming over, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different approach. And it's more comfortable and relaxing. And I think now because of that, you know, think about what they did on how they could tell that the virus was uptick is what they, how did they test? They went to what? The waste treatment
mm-hmm.
and got viruses there, right? And so if we thought about what happens, you know, with your water, right, and when it goes to the waste treatment plant, and then what they do from that point, right, and then they dump it right back into the rivers, lakes, streams, and reservoirs that we draw it right back from.
Wow. Paul Dowding is our guest. It is Water Pros. WaterPros.net, their number, 303-862-5554. All right, so for those that hadn't caught you on the last couple of months since you've been with us, let's kind of give just an overall look of what you guys offer.
So we do whole house water filtration, right? Water softening, water conditioning. We do reverse osmosis drinking water systems on a small scale, large scale. We do also do, we specialize in whole home reverse osmosis units, and those are designed for folks who live in the rural area mm-hmm. where they have multiple problem issues. And so, you know, reverse osmosis in a lot of cases is needed because of high total dissolved solid levels, which can mean various contaminants, high sodium levels, uranium, you know, can be an issue in well water here in Colorado.
Right.
So, you know, we offer solutions for that. We've also designed with, you know, proven technology, we have a whole house unit now that we can handle the forever chemicals and remove them, you know, for the whole house level, you know, at a very, you know, affordable price. And mm-hmm. we use multimedias, you know, that filtration. And so it allows us to achieve, you know, the maximum, you know, as far as the quality, you know, at every single faucet in the home. So that's something that we focus on and try to offer products that meet the needs of the water problems. You know, Colorado is a mixed bag of nuts sure. when it comes to water quality. And, you know, folks in, you know, Louisville, for example, have naturally soft water. There's some folks that, you know, went to a house and buyers on Friday and neighbors around him, you know, within a couple miles, their water quality had, you know, really hard water, high iron content and brand new build, you know, brand new home. And he had naturally soft water. It's same area. I mean, it's not uniform. I mean, where I came from in the Midwest, wow. you know, from county to county, the mm-hmm. water was going to be the same.
Sure.
You know, it's really hard limestone. And so you just had hard water. And so, but here it's just different.
Wow. Once again, Paul Dowding is our guest. Water Pros, give him a call, 303-862-5554. It's waterpros.net. You're listening to Haystack Up Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Hey, before we get back to the show, I just want to take a minute and say a personal word about Stack Optical. I've been going to Allen for over 10 years, and it's with great confidence that I can say you should trust all of your optical needs to Stack Optical as well. Allen, which you've heard on our show many times, has been taking care of his customers since 1968, and yes, it's still family-owned and operated. So if it's time for your eye exam, I hope you'll call 303-321-1578 and get your eye exam scheduled. And folks, it's only $69. So go check out the great selection of frames. And since Stack Optical has their own on-site lab, you'll have your new glasses in just a couple of days. So for glasses, prescription sunglasses, contacts, and even repairs, go see Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. The number is 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. And at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Always good to have Paul Dowding with us from Water Pros. Waterpros.net. Once again, their number, 303-862-5554. So, Paul, when you see all these different things, I mean, the government's in about every area of our life, but how do we know what to trust with different things like this EPA stuff and all this?
Great question. And I have to agree. Sometimes, you know, how do you know what to trust? But there was, before the EPA got involved, there were outside agencies trying to get the EPA to pay attention to this.
Okay.
So this was these were independent, you know, companies that were doing testing that were saying, hey, this is an issue, and finally brought it to the government's attention, where the government, you know, issued a guidelines that municipalities are following. That's part of the reason why these communities are sending out the letters, was because it's an EPA, you know, guideline, right? It's kind of like the CDC has guidelines, well, the EPA. And what we're talking about is a polyfluorinated substances. And so that's PFAS in short. But these are man-made chemicals that are in our environment because decades of use of the non-stick or water-resistant, you know, materials from, even the frying pans, right? Nonstick frying pans, right. and our clothes, the water resistant pants. Remember the doctors that they came out, right? Water resistant.
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets into, like I mentioned before, gets into the landfill. So water runs through that. Then they find this water-resistant repellent and firefighting foam, which is really huge for our state because of the firefighters using that to fight the wildfires, right? And then, you know, anything that was on wooden decks and the stain on the wooden decks, right, that was used for water-resistant chemicals, that's part of it, okay. Part of the group, okay? Some people... back in the day had those wood chick roofs, and they sprayed that chemical, you know, on those roofs. I don't think those are around anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But so anything that's a water-resistant repellent, water-repellent, Rain-X, for example. And so there's right now, to date, there's over 3,000 chemicals out there that still have this agent that it's in everyday use. So, you know, and that's down from hundreds of thousands of them. Okay. So when we use our water and goes into the waste treatment plant, now you also have, you know, all the vitamins, right, that people take, the drugs that people take, the antibiotics that people take, on top of the soaps, cleaners, detergents that people use. That's all in wastewater. So what they do with the wastewater is they take the solids out, right, and then they dump everything back into the same water resources that they pull it from. So this is all reusable water. Right, it's all reusable. You're not pulling from any new water source. So the lakes and reservoirs that are being used now, they're down because of a drought, right? And so that means that we're just not getting moisture and rain. But the same amount of water that's on our planet today was in the planet billions and billions of years ago, where the dinosaurs bathed in. Same amount.
Wow.
So that being said, as society grows, our municipality grows, water usage demand increases, so you can figure the kind of waste that's being dumped in, right? Okay, so then when they give you the water to drink, what are they doing? Are they taking the time to run it through nanofiltration filters before we get it? No. Mm-hmm. They take, you know, they measure them out, and every single chemical or contaminant has a standard guideline that's acceptable to be in there, okay? A lot of folks are concerned about fluoride. Fluoride's natural. You know, it's added, but it's also natural in the water supply. And that's something that, people want to do away with because of, you know, gum disease, right? I remember years ago in Henderson, Nevada, they had a big issue and kids, the teeth were rotting away because of the high fluoride content. So with that, you know, you have to look at with all these emerging contaminants that are coming now, and then, you know, we take a glass of water, well, it's not 100% H2O anymore. And so what's happening is that you have to consider, you know, how do we stop, right, you know, the contamination. And right. One of the ways to do that, the contamination part, is cut back on certain cleaners and detergents, and that's where the water softener comes in. And it's something that it aids in the quality of our drinking water for the future, because if you cut back in contamination, then, because it's still going to be there, right? It's not like it's going to be eliminated.
Sure.
And so it's something that we can do to reduce it for the future.
I remember several years ago, and I don't even remember how long ago this was, but I just remember on the news one time, they went out to some area here in Colorado, and they were lighting, actually, the water coming out of the mm-hmm. kitchen. Yeah, what was that
about? Methane, yeah.
You know, do you see that anymore?
Yeah. It happened in, I think it was Northern Colorado, right? Yeah, So, you know, one of the things to think about is, you know, look at all the new homes going up and all the access to the same amount of water that we had. So there's really, mm-hmm. you know, it's water resources has increased. People have increased. Well drilling. I mean, you folks are moving outside the metro area. I mean, the East, you know, Byers, Stroudsburg, are, you know, they're growing because people want to move away. You know, the home prices are a little bit less expensive than what you would find in the metro area. And then people, you know, want a quieter community, you know, and so they'll take the, you know, the commute, an hour and a half drive, you know, getting into to work. But now also, because folks work out of the home, it allows them to, you know, not stay, you know, in such mm-hmm. a busy, you know, population area. But they still, you know, are going need water. So, you know, you're drawing at the same aquifer. And I think where we're at, water rolls downhill, right? Water eventually is from the mountains and it flows, you know, eastward, down, you know, for to the plains. And so, you know, it's the same, you know, same resources. So you go underground and you're and well drilling used to be where, you know, you drill one well and that's it. And the water that that well gave you was the quality you had to live with. But I'm, you know, seeing that's changing, maybe because, you know, the governments, you know, local governments, you know, like the permit fees. And, sure. you know, I mean, to drill a well, you could spend close to $50,000, mm-hmm. right? So with the permit fees based on the percentage of that.
Wow.
So it's something that in the grand scale of things, you know, builders, I even tell builders, and even tell real estate agents, if, you know, you're going into a home, you know, you need to, you know, talk about the water and the water quality, because now that is something, water quality on a real estate purchase is where if people aren't told that, hey, you got problem water, your water is going to smell, you're going to, you know, rust stains in your water, then, you know, they're going back and complaining, saying, hey, why wasn't this, you know, divulged to me up front? This wasn't disclosed. And so, you know, you have to say, I can't guarantee the quality of your water. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't be responsible for it. And the EPA on their website tells folks that, you know, if you have a private well, your well quality, you know, and the testing and monitoring is your own responsibility.
Right. And like you said, it's not like you got to move from one area of the state to another. It could be relatively close, as you mentioned a little while ago. The water could be different.
Right. Absolutely.
And who thinks about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. Yeah. And so, the major cities with problem water, you know, Inglewood has hard water, Littleton Highlands Ranch, you know, the Commerce City Reunion area. And then you figure all those new homes that Aurora's building on 470, you know, they're just, you know, going to, it's, and they're popping up quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to be when you went from, you know, got off on 470 on Smoky Hill, you drive all the way to, you know, the airport, you know, there was nothing to the east of you. And now look at it, you know, subdivisions are bopping up in Commerce City. You know, that's growing like wildfire, you know, Reunion area. It's just, you know, and both sides of Tower Road going into Commerce City is going to have, you know, homes are coming up left and right. And so it's the same water that everybody's going to be tapping into. What will happen is that they'll inject more total chlorine content to the water to sanitize it, right? So if you get water that's hard, you know, you have to live with the hardness, but iron content and any other contaminant, how they disinfect it is with a chloramine. So chloramine is ammonia mixed with chlorine, and they do that because the two combined have a longer contact time so they can kill bacteria and viruses. I, on that note, have an ultraviolet light on my, for the whole house just because of, you know, I don't want any kind of, you know, viruses exactly. or bacteria.
Sure.
City of Inglewood had an E. coli outbreak in their water supply. How does that happen? How do they get E. coli? Well, that tells you where the water's coming from. Because what is E. coli, right? That comes from water, you know, what, you know, the waste that we flush down the toilet. And so it's yeah. And so you think about that.
Absolutely. Great note to end on here for during our lunch hour. But hey, I tell you what. Again, Paul. Came out, installed a water softener for us, and I'm telling you, we love it, and you will feel the difference, taste the difference. It is Water Pros, waterpros.net. Call 303-862-5554. Talk to Paul. Get him set up to come out and take a look and just, hey, kind of just tell you what you've got going on in your own house, and I promise you, he'll take great care of you. And if you would, please mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.